Please, 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 I implore you, please start a furniture repair business. Please, I beg you. There is so much work out there right now. For one thing, we have baby boomers. If you haven't noticed, we have baby boomers coming out of, well, they're everywhere. A lot of them are retired. A lot of them have money. And a lot of them have broken old furniture that they want to do something with before, well, they're no longer with us. They want grandma's old dining room table repaired, refinished, so that they can pass it on to their daughter. Or there's that old rocking chair that's been up in the attic for, well, longer than they care to remember, that was given to them by a great aunt who made them promise that they would keep it in the family. They need to get that repaired and find some unsuspecting family member that they can force a piece of legacy furniture onto, just like it was done to them. Maybe there's someone who has an old canoe that was their great uncle's. And there are just dozens of family stories about shenanigans that have taken place in and around this canoe, and you want to keep it in the family. But it hasn't been paddled in 20 years, the canvas is falling off of it, and it needs to be restored. Maybe there's an old sailboat that's in kind of the same condition, or a china cabinet, or a buffet table. There's all kinds of stuff out there that people want fixed. And I think you are the perfect person to do that. Hi, my name is Roger Kugler. This is Working at Woodworking, episode number 32. There is no better time to start your woodworking business. If you've been thinking about doing more woodworking than maybe on the weekends, or building that little bookshelf that your wife wanted, perhaps a nightstand for your bedroom, you really kind of like this stuff, and you'd like to do more of it. You've been watching YouTube videos, you've been reading a few books, you have a couple magazine subscriptions, and this is really cool stuff. You like this, but you ask yourself, how in the world could you ever do this as a business? Well, I'm going to give you some suggestions, because I'm desperate. This is not rocket science. You do not need a PhD from some Ivy League university to repair furniture. You do need a little bit of skill, quite a bit of knowledge, and of course, the best knowledge comes from experience. But you need to start someplace. So where do you start? Well, I'd look around your house. What's broken? Fix it. If you don't know how to fix it, YouTube. If that doesn't turn up any results, find somebody in your community who fixes furniture. There's help out there someplace. Even take a piece to a furniture repair business and explain to them that you're really intrigued, you like this kind of thing, but you're not really sure how to go about it. They may show you or tell you how to fix this because they can't get to it for the next 4 months. But running a business? Oh, I couldn't do that. Oh, yeah, you can. Come on, it's not that hard. In fact, I have laid out 3 plans for you to start your own woodworking business, and I'm concentrating on furniture repair, but it could be many other different types of woodworking. Plan number 1, I call the super simple plan, because it doesn't get any simpler than this. Someone brings you a chair to fix. You fix the chair. They pay you with cash, or they write a check in your name. Yay! You're in business as a furniture repair person. It's honestly that simple. We don't need to turn this into brain surgery. I mean, it is literally that simple. You do a service for somebody, and they reward you with money. So the pros of my plan number 1 is, well, it's super simple. The cons of plan number 1 is it can be a little expensive. Hear me out. Here in the United States, we all pay taxes. Well, in fact, pretty much any place in the world, you're paying taxes. And this is what scares a lot of people about business, is the taxes. Please, don't be scared. A little bit of knowledge can defeat a whole bunch of fear. The only thing you need to do is if you made, let's say you made $400 repairing people's furniture. When you do your taxes next April, there's a line on the 1040 form, report any other income, and that's where you put that $400 in. Boom, you're done. It's that simple. Now, one of the disadvantages of doing that is you're actually paying more money to the government than what you technically, more than what the law requires of you. But it's simple. So don't let this spook you. You know, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, but what about marketing plans?
Ah, jeez. Now, there you go, complicating things. I'll tell you what, I strongly recommend the F&F ad agency for all your marketing needs. You've never heard of the F&F ad agency? The F&F stands for Friends and Family, and they do great work. If you're married, your spouse is probably the chairman of the board. Seriously, if you have these type of skills, you can help a whole bunch of people, a lot of your friends and family. And in fact, if you're just kind of starting out on this and you need to gain some experience, put the word out to friends and family. Hey, if you have any broken furniture, let me have a crack at it. See if I can fix it for you. And there you go. You're in business. You'll probably get more than what you really bargained for. And if there's, you know, some costly materials involved, just ask them to pay your cost. Don't even charge them anything for profit. That way you have nothing, you have no profits to report. You're just doing a favor for a friend or a family member. Now, if you're kind of into this and it's going pretty well, you might want to reach out a little bit more. I've been kind of impressed with the social app Nextdoor. It's a web-based thing. Well, your cell phone too. But it's just basically neighborhoods, you know, people, well, next door, and they put stuff out and kind of Facebook-ish without all the weirdness on it, although it can get a little weird. But there's a couple guys on there that says, hey, I do landscaping, I mow lawns, I haul away trash, and from what I can tell, he's been pretty busy. There's another guy that's building some furniture. He's posting pictures of it. There's no, you know, Louis the 14th or Queen Anne in there, but hey, it's functional and it works, and more power to the guy. So that's something incredibly cheap, well, literally no cost except for your time, that you could do to ramp up. But honestly, if you have a pretty decent network of friends, maybe, you know, your family member works in a larger company where there's a lot of people, maybe a church group or a social group or something like that, you put the word out and you'd be really surprised on how much work that can bring in. My wife literally brought me work for probably the first, well, 5 years at least. Every time that her company would sponsor a dinner or a picnic or something, I went and I could write off the expense because half of them were my customers. And I still do work for some of those people, and that's 20 years later. Okay, plan number two. I call this the sweet spot because you're kind of growing out of, you know, the guy down the street that repairs furniture to actually forming a business, a more formal, you know, business. The first thing you need to do is to come up with a name. You know, before, under the super simple plan, a person just handed you $80 or they wrote a check out to your name. Now, let's get a little bit more formal. Choose a name. Joe's Furniture Restoration. I like the term restoration more so than repair, but either one of them would certainly work. You need to go to your bank and open a separate checking account in the name Joe's Furniture Restoration. Depending on the state that you live in, and if you live in a country other than the U.S., I have no idea how it works there. You're kind of on your own here. I'm sure there's resources that you can figure this out. But in the U.S., in my state, they would require you to do what's called a DBA, a doing business as. And they will give you the form and send you down to the courthouse, and you just fill out that this is my name, this is my address, and I'm going to do business as Joe's Furniture Restoration. Do you know why you have to do this? That's right, taxes. Because that's the only way the county or the city or the state knows that you are creating a tax liability that they can capitalize on. But even I did this 20 years ago. Probably today you can do this online in about 5 minutes. So open your checking account, and usually, in my case, it comes with a debit card, which is incredibly convenient, and you can buy your tools, your shop supplies, your finishing products, sandpaper, all those things that you would normally use in the course of furniture repair. Next, you are going to need to apply to your state for a sales tax exemption certificate or some other name. We have 50 states, and guess how many of them do things exactly the same? Yeah, zero. In my state, it's called a Registered Retail Merchant Certificate, RRMC. Some states, it's called a seller's permit. Other states, it's called a business license. Again, this is the way the state can collect taxes for you. That's the only real purpose behind this. But don't fret if you have no idea how to get started. I found a really cool website. It's called salestaxhandbook.com. Link in show notes. There is more stuff about taxes, about all 50 states, than you ever could possibly want to know. And one of the neat things about this was that when I was checking out a few states that I'm somewhat familiar with, all of this seems to be done online. I mean, 20 years ago, I'm pretty sure I had to mail stuff into the state and then wait, 2 weeks to get a reply. But now it seems to be pretty much instantaneous. I mean, this website will give you, step by step, what you need to do, who you need to contact. Here's the link that you need to contact. This is the information that you're going to need. It was really interesting. Ohio does not charge anything to get a business license, but it will take 24 hours for it to actually go through. Indiana didn't charge anything for the registration, and it was valid immediately upon completion. Now, California was, it's California. There is a note on there that says, be aware that the BOE may request a security deposit, in parentheses, of varying size depending on your business scenario, close parentheses, to guarantee any future unpaid taxes to be paid upon application of a seller's permit. There you go. That's California. I have no idea what BOE stands for, but I could use my imagination. Now, when you're going through and filling out the online form for your business license, your sales permit, your retail license, whatever the name is, you're going to come across some different words. So that means it's time to define that word. One of the words that popped up on the various states' online applications was NAICS, N-A-I-C-S code. What is a NAICS code? Well, it stands for North American Industry Classification System, and it's a way of narrowing down and specifically defining what your business does. And if you're into furniture repair, your NAICS code would be 811420. In fact, write that down if you are going to do furniture repair. Or if you're doing something different, you can visit the website, naics.com, link in show notes. Oh, by the way, if you are reading a form online and there's a word that you don't quite understand, here's a little trick. And I only mention this because I imagine a lot of my audience is, well, older. Young people probably are going to go, duh. But if you right-click over that word, you get a window that pops open, and it says something to the effect of, search for this word on Google. Boom! So fast, so easy. You don't actually have to do the copy and the paste in the URL line to search for something. So fast, so easy. Now, another word that you might come across is your SIC code. Yeah, I know, I didn't make this up. SIC stands for Standard Industrial Classification. And again, it's just like the NAICS code. It's a way of defining what you do. Why we need two different systems for this, I have no idea. But your SIC code would be 7641, Reupholstery and Furniture Repair. That's the title. And the common name for this would be Antique Furniture Repair and Restoration. Yep, that fits perfect. Another acronym you may come across is your FIN number, and that is your Federal Employer Identification Number. If you are reporting the start of a new business, you can either use your Social Security number or your FIN number, your Federal Employer Identification. If you're a fairly large business or you have employees, you don't really want to be running around there with your Social Security number out there. So you would apply to, I believe it's the IRS.gov website, for a FIN number. And it's super simple. You just fill out, you know, name, address, your business. I think you have to use your SIC codes and your NAICS code and answer a few questions, and boom, they assign you a number. So there's a few terms that might surprise you. That's what they mean. There are no biggies. Once you figure this out, write it down someplace. If it crops up again, you have that information right there. So you have your checking account, you have your debit card. Someone brings you a chair to fix, you fix the chair, they pay you in either cash or they might write out a check in your business name. And honestly, the scenario that happens a lot more often is you get the chair fixed, you send them an invoice. I use PayPal. I've actually started to use Square, and they pay you with their credit card right there on the invoice. We've had a couple podcasts on how to do this. But now you're using your business name. So what's the pro of this system? Well, first thing is it's simple. Yeah, there's a little bit more paperwork, but honestly, you only have to do this once as far as the application and getting things set up. And then you can go for, well, decades without having to do anything else other than paying taxes. Now, this is actually one advantage over the Super Simple plan, because when we're paying taxes, we don't just declare the gross amount. We can start recovering our business expenses. So if you spend $100 on sandpaper, well, you deduct that from your overall profits because that was an expense that you had to invest to be able to produce the work to produce the profit. How do you do this? Well, again, it's not rocket science. You just need to keep track of your expenses. You literally could put everything in a shoebox, or I have a expandable folder thingy that sits on the corner of the workbench, one of the side workbenches, that any receipts that I get, I just tuck them into the first pocket on that. And that's how I keep my receipts. At the end of the year, you go through, you add up all your receipts, and boom, there's your expenses. It's not the most pleasant way of doing it. You could create a spreadsheet where you keep track of your expenses that way. This is what I do. I download the month's transactions from my bank account, and import that into a spreadsheet and then go through and assign what each one of those expenses was for. It could be for shop supplies, it could be for small tools, it could be for materials, education, professional services, auto expenses, whatever. That's where you do that. Now, I'm a little weird. I love spreadsheets. Then you can go in and make you know, bar charts and pie charts, and you can do a line graph. No, sorry. You can get an app for your phone where you just keep it right there on your phone. You go into the hardware, you buy a box of screws, you punch it in to the app, and it keeps track of it. Super simple like that. Or you could even use paper.
No. Ah!
I know. Real old school. But, you know, if you don't have a lot of expenses, get one of those notebooks. You could even get like a general ledger. And how many entries are you going to make a week? 4? You know, and it's all right there. You can go through and add this up at the end of the month. It's not that hard. It's not like you're processing, you know, 4,200 transactions a month. You know, you're doing maybe 20. So you don't need to make this super difficult. KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. So you have your expenses, and now you go to your 1040 form when you're doing your taxes, and you add just one form. It's called a Schedule C. And that's where you report your revenue, and that's where you report your expenses. And if you're doing this online with any number of the 2,700 different online apps that you can use to file your tax forms, this is super simple. They will literally walk you through it. And they'll ask you questions about things that, wow, I can deduct that? Yes, you can. That way, you end up paying exactly what you owe and not a penny more. The sponsors of this broadcast would like to remind listeners that anything said in this broadcast is not intended to be professional tax advice, and listeners are encouraged to seek out their own tax professionals. Yeah, what about marketing? Okay. I would recommend that you leverage your competition to increase profits. Yeah, I read that in a magazine. I didn't actually make that up. What I mean by this, go visit your master craftsmen in your area, the people who have been doing this for like decades, and introduce yourself. Start asking questions. You know, most of these people work alone and they don't see a whole bunch of people. You know, they have more cats than they do employees. And they are usually more than willing to share information. So ask questions. Share some of your victories, you know, things that you did really well that you're proud of, and share your defeats. You know, there was that dining room table that I just could not get a clean finish on. There's these little tiny, like inch-long streaks that for some reason, the finish just didn't, it just didn't stick. It wasn't there. It was a void. Well, I'm sure that he would have some suggestions on what caused that and how you could fix that in the future. And when you have some rapport with him, ask him for jobs. He probably gets phone calls every day and either has to turn work down because you just can't get to it in a reasonable time, or he just doesn't want to do that particular job. One thing I don't like to do anymore is to go to people's homes to fix furniture. I would just really rather not do that. You know, if you can bring that to me, well, right now I'm not taking on any furniture repair, but when I do, I prefer you to bring the furniture to me. So that might be a little bit of a angle that you could get into. And ask for jobs. This is when you hand your business card, because you're stepping up your game a little bit. We're getting out of that super simple plan. Now we're getting into the sweet spot. So you've made up some business cards. They don't need to be fancy. They don't need to be elaborate. They need information on them. You know, so give him a dozen cards and he'll probably lose at least half of them, but a couple of them will hang around and he can pull that out the next time somebody calls him and asks if they can repair something. And he says he can't. Do you know anybody who could? Oh, yeah. There was this young feller in here a few weeks ago. Well, here's his number. I'm not sure if he can do it, but you could give him a try. That's how you get started. And you can get a relationship like that built up, and it can serve you very, very well. But you have to do this in person. Don't send an email and expect a great big, long, lengthy reply. Phone calls are okay, but it's really better to get some FaceTime. And please don't send a frickin' text. Just not appropriate. Okay, what about plan number 3? This is when you have been doing some really good work. You have clients, and now you just want to build the business out more. You've added your business cards. You may want to add a website. You might want to try social media. Now, remember, I am the last person to ask for social media advice. The only thing that I could recommend to you that might have some merit is register your business on all the social media platforms just so you have it. It might come in very, very handy in the future. And if you're more savvy than I, which is probably most of you, go ahead and dip your toe in that. The advice that I've heard is that if you're going to do it, pick one, maybe two platforms and concentrate on those. Have an account on all the platforms, but really concentrate on one or two platforms to start building a social media presence. If you try to do all of them, you're very likely to do all of them badly, and that's worse than not doing anything. You want to be taking photographs. Better the photographs you can take, the better for you, because you're going to use these photographs for lots and lots of different things. Website, mainly, but maybe you want to do some more formal advertising sometime. Maybe you want to start selling some product online. You're going to need photos. They don't have to be, you know, world-class, award-winning, fantastic photos, but they need to be good quality photos. Maybe I ought to do a podcast episode just on photos. If you have no interest in photography at all, hire someone. And it could be a family member that has a fancy camera who fancies themselves a photographer. Set some things out. You do a job that you're particularly proud of. Get some photos of it. I speak from experience because I haven't done that very well. And in your business plan number 3, you want to start to increase efficiency. You may have been a little fast and loose with some of your expenses, and this is where we start tightening things up. We start concentrating on reducing our expenses and increasing our profits, getting that overhead as low as we can, and really increase the efficiency of the business. You've probably also noticed that you're getting much, much better at the craft that you're doing, furniture repair. Somebody would bring a chair in that had 4 busted tenons, you would kind of break out into a cold sweat. And now you look at it and say, yeah, okay, I can have it ready by Thursday. You're just so much better at doing this. And that's the goal, is just to get better every day. And maybe you have some dreams. Maybe it's the ultimate build. You want a new workshop. You want to build a freestanding workshop. You want to expand the 1-car garage to a 3-car garage. You want to move to a different city and start up a business there. You want a new table saw. You want to buy more Festool tools. Do you know that they now have a 12-step program for Festool owners? Yeah, I read that on the Fog forum. Oh, Fog? Festool Owners Group. Yeah. Maybe you want to enter some furniture shows, you know, those high-end shows, you know, like in Rhode Island and Boston, Chicago. That might be a very admirable goal. Perhaps you've always dreamed of winning the Cartouche Award. Wouldn't it be cool to study Komiko in Japan? Or maybe chip carving in Switzerland? Yeah. Or if you've been doing this part-time, maybe this is time to take the step and go full-time in this. This is the beauty about Plan 3. You can really start to build things out and polish things and hone things and get things working just really, really well for yourself. This is one of the huge advantages of being your own boss, having your own business. If you've been thinking about this for a while, I can't think of a better time to actually get started. I hope I've encouraged you that you don't have to take a giant leap from the pier to catch that speedboat rushing by. You can just take a step out into your shop and repair one piece of furniture and collect $20 to get started. So recommendations for the week? Visit the websites that I mentioned earlier, the salestaxhandbook.com and also the naics.com, your NAICS website. And one person on YouTube that I have grown to really admire is Tom Johnson. His company is Thomas Johnson Antique Furniture Restoration up in Maine. And there's a link in the show notes for one of his YouTube videos. He does just absolutely marvelous work, very good quality videos. If you have an inkling of tackling furniture, I think you definitely should be following this guy. Missed jobs this week. I had an email from a gentleman who had bought a 1970s turntable rack. It's kind of a simple design, but kind of a neat design. You have a turntable sitting in the center and flanking storage boxes for vinyl records. And I remember seeing those as a kid. And he had bought this online. It arrived broken, and he needed somebody to repair it. I just can't take on any more work at the moment. And it seems like Mondays have kind of turned into my no days. I open up the email first thing Monday morning, turn the phone back on, and I just start saying no. No, I can't do this. No, I can't do that. Sorry. No, I don't know anyone who can do this. And that led to this week's episode. Please, if you have an inkling of doing this, take that step. Get out there and start repairing some furniture. We need you. So I want to thank you for listening today. And as always, you can find more information on the website, Working at Woodworking. I offer coaching services for any of you who want to do this, but you're still a little, you have questions on, you know, actually getting started. I'd be more than happy to talk to you. First 15 minutes is free. No charge whatsoever. If you want to go into more depth, we can set up, you know, some other phone calls, or you're welcome to visit. I've had several people, you know, come to the shop. So I hope you seriously consider this episode. And until next week, happy woodworking.